Good Friday and Easter Sunday are fastly approaching, which got me to thinking, how often do we actually sit and think about what actually happened over those 3 days from Good Friday to Easter Sunday to Resurrection Sunday, right? How often do we actually sit and think what was happening? And how often do we think about how it applies to our lives on today? Well, I want to talk about it because as you may be walking through a very dark season in your life, there are some big implications that I don't want you to miss from that weekend, and I want you to be able to observe them and think about them this weekend. So don't miss this episode. Hey, sis. Welcome to Goodbye Heartbreak, Hello Healing. Are you hurt and confused after a recent breakup? Are you having thoughts like, I can't believe I'm here again. Why wasn't I enough for him? Or I'm never going to get married. Do you find yourself Googling how to get past the breakup or how to heal my broken heart? Do you start your morning feeling like you can finally breathe again only to fall apart when you see a picture of your ex on social media? Hey sis, I'm Candace. I too was a single Christian woman who was heartbroken but still desired marriage. I too had numerous failed relationships and wished the right man would come along. I wanted closure from past relationships, healing for my heart, and I wanted to feel joy in my life again. But the truth is, I had no idea where to start or how to make any of this happen until I found the secret, partnering with God to heal from heartbreak. In this podcast, you will find tips for moving on after breakups, growing your relationship with God, and preparing for future relationships so that you will heal your heart and be ready to move forward into the life you desire. So turn off those heartbreak songs and turn me up in those earbuds. It's time to heal, sis. Hey, sis, and welcome back for another episode of Goodbye Heartbreak, Hello Healing. I am super excited that you are joining me on today. I love the topic for today. I love what we're talking about. You know, Good Friday, Easter Sunday is a huge thing. And, you know, I was supposed to do a little research because I don't know how the whole world tends to celebrate Jesus's death and resurrection. But it has become very commercialized and worldly here in the U.S., okay? I will say that. And which means that it kind of takes away the reverence of what actually happened on Good Friday and on Resurrection Sunday. We fill it with a lot of activities. And yes, it's beautiful to be able to gather with family, go to church, cook, have cookouts. And in Louisiana, we boil crawfish on Good Friday. Like, it's a big whole thing. But are we missing the importance of what happened? And I think we do. I think we are. I really wanted to talk about it on today because that Good Friday, as we call it, was not a happy time. Okay. In fact, it was a dark, violent, and gruesome day. All right. Jesus and his disciples were not out celebrating like we would be on today. In fact, they were filled with dread, fear, anxiety, and depression. And, you know, probably a host of other emotions, right? Like, you couldn't even fathom what it would be like to know as Jesus what is coming down the pipes for you. Like, he was actually in the Garden of Gethsemane praying to the Father, asking him if there was any way that this cup could pass him by, if he could take that cup away from him, talking about him actually enduring everything that he was about to endure all the way to being crucified on the cross. He's like, please take it away from me. And he said, but he ended it with, you know, not my will, but your will be done. And so it was not a happy time as we celebrate it now. And so as they were filled with this dread, this fear, this anxiety, depression, just having this dark outlook, you know, I want you to think about your life right now. And I want you to ask yourself, you know, do any of these emotions sound familiar to me? Because they sound familiar to me for sure. They do. They sound familiar to me. And so it's like, I want us to get into the mindset of, okay, obviously, whatever we're dealing with right now, it really does pale in comparison to what Jesus had to endure. But he knows that. And he endured it so that we can have power to face the things that we have to face. But I know when my heart was broken, I felt all of those emotions and more, right? I had some anger in there, probably some jealousy in there, and quite a few other things. I had unforgiveness I had to deal with. Like, there was a lot going on. So I felt those emotions in dark times when I was dealing with a broken heart. And I've even felt these same emotions in later dark seasons of my life, because that breakup was not the last hard thing I had to face. I had to face other dark seasons. And so those emotions came back up. So with the hustle and bustle of life and the many tests and trials that we face, we tend to forget just how powerful our Lord and Savior is, okay? We have to remember the power of Jesus. Now, I know some may think, if he's so powerful, why is he allowing me to suffer in this season? And that's a valid question. And I always encourage people, like, look, you have questions for God. Don't keep them bottled up inside. Take them to him. Have a conversation with God through prayer and ask these questions. But I have to say this, that, you know, not suffering was never the promise with the gift of salvation, right? When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it wasn't so that we would never have to suffer again. We have to face tests and trials and suffering just like every other human being on this earth. The promise is freedom from sin and death and the power to overcome anything that we face in life, knowing that we have the victory because of what Christ did on the cross. Okay, that's the promise. So I think that sometimes in Christianity, especially in the Western world, right, we tend to think that we should have it easy because we're followers of Jesus. But if we're actually following the model of Jesus, the model that he has set for us to follow, then you should know hard things will come. Even he had to bear his cross, and so do we. We have our own crosses to bear, but we have to know that, you know, on Sunday morning, the tomb was empty, right? When Mary Magdalene, I think it was, went to the tomb to, you know, clean his body and, you know, do all the things that they would normally do culturally, he was not there. And she went to get the disciples and say, you need to come see, the tomb is empty. And they rejoiced on that day. And so knowing that, then you have to know that he overcame death, all right? The grave could not hold him. And therefore, that same power that he had, the same power that raised him from the dead, is the same power that is offered to us to raise us up above the things that try to keep us down. Okay, that's the promise. Not that the suffering won't come, not that the weapons won't form, it's that they won't prosper. That's the promise. So I know for me, when I truly take a moment to sit and think about what Jesus endured, as far as I can comprehend it, because it's a very hard thing to comprehend. I can't, you know, in our day and age, it's hard to even think that something like that would actually happen. But when I do actually sit and think about it and think about what he endured, first I cry. I do a lot of crying, like ugly crying, because if you really sit in that, you know, quiet and really let your mind go there and you read the Bible and you see what's ask the Holy Spirit to give you vision of what has happened and what happened to Jesus back then, it's going to evoke some emotions in you. It should. It definitely should. But once I get through that part, the crying, you know, get that part out of the way, I also feel loved and empowered. Like, that comes afterwards. Like, I feel like, wow, like, you did this. You endured all of this for me because you loved me first, and so that you can empower me. And you only want to empower me because you love me. So it's like, man, when you really let that sink in, how much God loves us, that he sent his only son, like John 3:16 says, like he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. When you really think about what that means, like, it's humbling. And it's also, again, you should feel his love. You should really feel his love. It should become more tangible when you are able to sit in that. So when I can like really sit in it, I begin to look at whatever situation I'm facing as small and weak. I mean, think about it. The beatings and abuse, the disrespect and humiliation. And now that I'm a mom, knowing that Mary had to watch her son go through this, look like this, see him beaten and bloodied, hanging on a cross, suffering, like who could do that? And so it's like all of that, it's a lot to say, man, and I'm over here thinking that I can't overcome heartbreak. I'm over here like feeling like I'm stuck and I'm never going to get out of my situation, when I'm like, I serve a risen Savior who endured all of these very gruesome, very violent acts, yet he survived. Yes, eventually they hung him on the cross and he died, but he rose again. And now he lives and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And he's sitting there every time we sin, saying, no, you know, I died for that one. So, you know, let's give them some grace. Let's be merciful. You know what? That temptation that they're struggling with is a lot harder than you think, Father. I've been there. You know, he became human flesh to endure the things that we endure so that he knows. And he took it all to the cross. It's a lot. It's a lot. And if you ever need help, like envisioning this, all right, and you actually need to see something before you feel like you can't get a good mental picture from reading, then watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, okay? If you have never seen that movie, it was made, I think, in the early 2000s. If you have never seen that movie, get your hands on it and watch it. When I say every time I have watched that movie, I haven't watched it in a while, but every time I have watched that movie in the past, I mean, I'm just crying almost the entire time. And it brings me to a place of gratefulness, beyond gratefulness, a place of repentance. And just, I mean, really saying, man, Jesus, you did this for me. I can't believe you endured all of those things just for me. I mean, I seriously can never watch this movie without sobbing, but how can you not feel a wide range of emotions watching something like that and knowing that this really did happen and it was likely worse than what they could even portray on a movie? And so know that Jesus, you know, although he endured all of these things, he was resurrected after all of this with all power in his hand. So how could you not feel powerful yourself knowing that the Spirit of God lives in you? So it's like, I really want you to be able to sit in this over these next few days and really start thinking about what Jesus endured and what it means for you. And so when we talk about what it means, I have some scriptures I want you to really meditate on and really take in, get into your spirit. So first, let's look at Philippians 4:13, and I'm going to be going to these different scriptures because I want to read them straight from the Bible. So I'm going to be on my phone going to those. But Philippians 4:13, you've heard me mention this scripture before. It's one that I reference a lot here on the podcast, and it says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Okay, short scripture, yes, but powerful. And so we say that scripture a lot, but do we know what that really means? When it says him who gives me strength, we're talking about Jesus. He gives you strength. Christ gives you strength. How? Well, he did it on the cross. The strength that maybe didn't come from his crucifixion, but it came from his resurrection. When he was resurrected, he had all power in his hands. And so that same power that he had lives in us through the Holy Spirit. And so now you're like, yes, I can do all things. So when you're talking about dealing with this heartbreak, getting over your ex, dealing with this sadness, you can do it. Why? Because you do it through him who gives you strength, through Jesus Christ. He gives you the strength to do it. No, you can't do it in your own strength. And as long as you keep trying to do it in your own strength, then you will not be able to do it. But when you give it to him, when you surrender and say, God, Holy Spirit, come in and help me to really push past this, to get over this once and for all, then you're able to do that. You're going to be able to resist the temptation to call your ex, to reach out to him in any way. You're going to be able to block him on social media where you felt like you couldn't do that before. You're going to be able to hear his name and not fall apart. All the things that you feel like you can't do in your own strength, now when the Holy Spirit comes in, he gives you the same power, the resurrection power. So now you are resurrected above the earthly situations that you're dealing with because Jesus gives you strength. The second scripture I want to look at is Isaiah 53:5. And it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. So you have probably heard this, by his wounds or by his stripes we are healed. And I always tell women, like, look, Jesus was beaten. He was beaten badly. And they say he had 39 stripes. And I was reading an article about it earlier today because I knew I was doing this episode. And somebody said something about they gave him 39 because 40 would have killed him. But 39 because they were trying to keep him alive because they wanted him to suffer. But they didn't know that his suffering was for us. And so one of those 39 stripes is for you because you need healing for this heartbreak. And so by his wounds, by his stripes, you are healed from this heartbreak. Believe that in faith that Jesus, even though the suffering has come to you, It's not his intentions for you to stay here. He wants you to receive the healing that he has to offer you because it's there. It's available to you. You're a daughter of the King. So that healing is yours. It's your birthright. You have to take it. You have to grab a hold of it. You have to say, no, I am not going to stay depressed and anxious. By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I'm not going to stay heartbroken. I believe by faith that my heart is healed, that it's put back together and I'm a whole human being all by myself. So it's up to you to take that stripe that Jesus bore on his body for your healing. The third scripture that I want to talk about is 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And it says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So this is Paul talking about that thorn that he asked God to remove from him 3 times. And God was like, no, I'm not going to remove the thorn from you because my grace is sufficient for you to bear this cross, basically, like that thorn was Paul's cross for him to bear. God was like, I'm not going to take it away from you. You can do this. You can still function with this thorn in your side by my strength, by my grace. Grace from God is the power to do what we cannot do in our own strength. And so Paul is saying, you know what? So I was feeling weak and I asked God to take that away from me. But instead of doing that, he's like, no, I'm going to strengthen you instead that you may be able to carry on even though your situation has not changed, even though you still have a thorn in your side. So being single, sis, might be a thorn in your side. Okay. And I get it. Because I've been there. I've had that thorn. And I'm like, please take the singleness away from me. And God was like, no, my grace is sufficient for you. You may feel weak, but when you are weak, then you are strong. Because his grace, he gave me grace to endure the season that I thought was so hard for me, that I didn't want to. It was so undesirable. It was difficult, but he gave me grace to do it. And so he will give you the same thing. His grace is sufficient for you to walk through the heartbreak. He's not going to just take the heartbreak away from you, but you're going to have to go through a process of healing. You're going to have to walk it out. You're going to have to do some things. And he's like, yeah, you can do this because my grace is sufficient for you. So don't lose heart. Don't grow weary in doing good and well-doing. The Bible says, I think that's Galatians 6:9. Don't grow weary in well-doing because at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. That's what that scripture reminds me of. And so it's like, Let His grace empower you to do what you can't do in your own strength. And then the last scripture I want us to read is actually a passage that's a little lengthy, but I think it's worth reading the whole thing. I love Romans chapter 8, the entire chapter. You should read it sometime if you ever like, I need something to read, but I don't know what. Read Romans chapter 8. It'll bless your soul. But we're going to go on down to the end, verses 31 through 39. And I'm just going to read them because, like I said, I think it's worth doing. And starting at verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." So I know that was a lot. And I think a lot of those scriptures you hear in isolation, but you don't necessarily hear them all together. And there's a whole bunch before this, right, that he is talking about, because he says at the very beginning in verse 31, he says, "What then shall we say in response to these things?" Right. So there's a whole lot to read. And so, like I said, I encourage you to read the whole thing. But the thing I want to point out here is that I want you to remember that no matter what you're going through, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. And I wanted to bring this up because I hear so many women feeling shame, feeling guilt around things that they have done, around choices that they made, saying, you know, I need to rebuild my relationship with God, or I think, you know, God's mad at me because of what I did in that relationship. I chose that man over him, all of these things. But at the end of the day, the very last thing that I read was that nothing in all creation, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hey sis, are you missing your ex, feeling lonely, and feeling unworthy? Do you wish there was a way to stop crying yourself to sleep at night, get the closure you need after that breakup, and get over your ex? I understand. I know what it's like to have another failed relationship, have my heart broken, and feel like I will never find someone to love me. But sis, imagine if you can finally get past the pain, have a healed heart, find the peace you're looking for, and move on to what God has for you. Well, it's totally possible with my customized heart healing plan, where I give you personalized strategies for healing, letting go, and moving forward with God. You will be able to carry out simple steps to see real progress on your heart healing journey and actually gain peace. You will walk away with a detailed plan with a specific goal and between 1 to 3 simple steps to carry out the healing goal. Plus, you get accountability from me, and you can email me questions for 2 full weeks after our session. So if you're ready for your customized heart healing plan based on your specific healing needs with accountability and support, head over to CandiceABaddies.com/services to book your 60-minute heart healing coaching session. Spots are limited, so be sure to book yours today so you can finally heal and get to the life that God has for you. Remember this from Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I love you, sis. Now let's get back to today's episode. Jesus dying on the cross. That's the kind of love that God has for us. It's not puppy love. It's not the little love that we have from people here on this earth that will love us today and leave us tomorrow. And if you have daddy issues and you and your father walked out on you, he was not there for you. That's not the kind of love of the Father in heaven. His love is inconceivable, truly. We will never understand it here on the side of heaven at its fullest. But know that nothing can separate you. Now, you can walk away and still God will pursue you when you try to walk away from him because he loves you just that much. He's like, I sent my son to die for you. So truly, there's nothing that can separate you from his love. So whatever you may have done, whatever choices you may have made, do not let the enemy trick you into thinking that God does not love you. Do not let the enemy trick you into thinking you've gone too far. You've done too much. You took just one step too far outside of the will of God. Come on back and you come back through your repentance. You say, God, I'm sorry and I want to be right with you. And you repent and you say, please forgive me and help me turn. Give me the grace that I need to turn it to turn to the direction in which you want me to go. And you go there, but do not think that God does not love you. There is nothing that you can do to make God stop loving you. There's nothing you can do that he won't forgive you for. So I just want, that's the last scripture. And I just want to encourage you with all of these. I really want you to take your time. You know, I gave you some, read the scriptures before and after some of these, you know, like I said, read all of Romans chapter 8. But as you are going about your day over the next few days, as we're coming up to this Good Friday and this Easter, I challenge you to really think about what happened on the cross and what it means for you, what it means for the world, what it means for you in this season, what power is actually available to you in this season. Because many of you feel helpless, hopeless, like there's nothing that you can do to get you out of this. But Jesus did it all already. You have to receive it. So really think about that over the next few days. And I challenge you because I was really thinking about this and debating whether or not I was going to do it. But I feel something in my spirit saying on that Good Friday, I have a challenge that I'm doing with myself. And if you want to join me, then join me. You can, I'll talk. I don't want to talk so much about it on the podcast, but if you really want to hear about this challenge, you can email me at contact@candiceabaddies.com. You can join a Facebook group. I'll post about it there. And if you are on my email list, I will send out my weekly email and talk about it. Or, you know, join my email list if you're not on it and you can get the email about it. But I'm doing a challenge for that Good Friday. And, you know, if you want to join me, it'll be great. It's a great way to be able to really kind of sit in and think about. And even if you're getting together with family, you know, take some moments, get away by yourself before you start your day. Really sit and think about what, you know, what all of this means and what actually happened to Jesus and how this affects your life, what it means for you. Take the end of the day, take some time this weekend at some point to really think about Jesus, because that is what this is all about. So I love you so much. This may have been deep. I'm not sure. I don't know how you feel about it, but I felt led to create this episode because I had something else planned for today, but I felt like God was like, you know, We need to address this a bit. And I hope that it helps you. I hope it blesses you. And you have a great Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday weekend. I love y'all. Bye. Hey sis, listen. If you've been blessed, changed, or inspired by this podcast in any way, please subscribe to the podcast and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is the number one way that you can thank me and show support for the show. Also, if this podcast blessed you, don't keep it to yourself. Do a quick share and bless someone else. Please know I am so grateful for each and every one of you, and I would love to hear from you. Come connect with me and other like-minded individuals in my Facebook group called Christian Women Overcoming Heartbreak and Finding Purpose. I can't wait to meet you back here really soon. Until then, remember to love the life you have while you're making it better. Love you, sis.